Please write this down on top of your page. The roles of a perfect father. The roles of what? The roles of a perfect father. The roles of a perfect father is a topic, a title that I want to use because I think it is key to understanding how a man is supposed to father his children, his wife, and his community. And the male was designed by God to be the father of the family, the father of his wife, and the father of his children, and also the father of his community. When God created the human family, he began the human family with a male. The male is at the bottom of the family. He is the foundation of the family. And we talked about the importance of understanding where the male was laid. The male is not at the top of the family. He is at the bottom of the family. The male is God's answer to foundations. Now, what makes the male the father? Write the word father down again. The word father. The word father, the English word, is from a Hebrew word, which is the word Abba. A-B-B-A. Abba. The word Abba means source. S-O-U-R-C-E. It also means sustainer. The word also means foundation. So the male is father not because he's male. He's father because of what happened to him. If you study the human family, the male was made out of the soil. The man is made out of God. The man is the spirit being. The male is the body. And the male is the first one that God created. There are 6.7 billion people on earth, and God only made one. God made one human from the soil, and he never went back. So where did the 6 billion come from? Well, according to the scriptural text, not even the woman came from the soil. When God created the human family, he created the male, and then God went inside the male and pulled out a female. You will find the Bible saying very clearly that man did not come from woman, but woman came from man. That is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's very important to understand then that God formed the woman out of the man, and because she came out of the man automatically became her source. The word source in Hebrew is the word Abba. The word Abba is what we translate as father. The word source is also the foundation of a thing. So the male is the foundation of the woman, and he's also the source of the woman. But there's a little strange meaning of the word Abba that also needs to be understood. It's okay, sir. I think they just lost. The word Abba means sustainer. Write that down. Whatever came out of you, you are also to sustain. So father means source and sustainer. God is called the father of creation because all of creation came out of God. But the Bible also teaches us in Hebrews chapter 1, it repeats it. It says, he made all things And he upholds all things by the word of his power. He doesn't only create things, he sustains them by the word of his power. God is a father, not because he produced things, but also because he maintains them. So being a father is not a matter of male, it's a matter of position and a matter of your rank. The male man is father because the woman came out of him. Now, let me give you a couple of words that also is defined as father. The word is progenitor. Progenitor. The word progenitor is, pro means support, and gene is from the genetics. So the male is the progenitor of the human family. The genes of the human race came out of the male. This is important because genes determine quality, personality, and type. Which means that whatever the human race becomes is because the men produce it. When God wants to start a nation, he always goes to the male. Because the male is the progenitor. He is the supporter of genes. When God wanted to start the nation of Israel, he went to a man named Abraham. Abram was his first name, which in some texts is translated as father of none. It means barren. When God met him, God changed his name to Abraham. Look at the word Ab, father. Abraham means father, Ab, of many. And God said, out of you shall come a nation. And so Abraham became the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Your country and my country is only as good as the men in it. Because the male determines the quality of the nation. And this is why, even though we love, appreciate, respect, and adore the women of our nations, they can never replace the male. And this is also important for us, therefore, when we talk about priority. This is why the Bible says, honor your father and then your mother. Honor your father is the first command of God that has a promise attached to it. Fathering is a position and a function, not a title. Father is a position and a function. It is not a title or a name. Father is not the name of God. Father is a result of a function that God performed. God brought the creation out of him. So he became the source of creation, which automatically made him the father of creation. All things were made by him. So he is father because of what he did. It's not a name. The male is the father of the human family, not because it's a name, but because of the function he performed. He produced the woman, and then he produces the sperm, which produces the children. Everything came out of the male. So the male is the source, the foundation, the progenitor, the sustainer of the human family. This leads me to point number two. The position and function of the father must be honored. The Bible did not say honor the male. It says honor your father. Father is a function and a position. So your so-called daddy may not be a perfect person. But if he is your source, then you must honor the position. God never says to love your father. He says honor your father. Because that is your source. And the function that bought you. Point number three, fathers must earn the right to be honored. Not because you had a baby makes you a father. Father means what? Source and sustainer. So don't be so quick to claim that you are the father of that child. Because you might be only a half father. You provided the sperm, but you don't provide the support. You provide the progeneration, but you don't provide the financial support, the covering, the emotional support. And I am not here to teach you about your ordeal. I am here to teach you about God's ideal. Point number four. To honor fathers implies that fathers can also be dishonored. You know, when God told man, honor your father, he was also saying that it is possible to dishonor your father. When you dishonor your father, you basically dishonor your source. You undermine your own foundation. This is why the scriptures say, if any man dishonors his father, he shall live under a curse. It's like the father is the root of a tree. And a tree is no better than the root. Do you agree? And if the root is rotten, the fruit are in trouble. If the root is contaminated, the leaves are in trouble. So if you curse your root, you destroy your tree. You are the branch. You are the fruit. And if you curse your root, you kill the fruit. And so the scriptures are very clear. He who curses his father will live under a curse himself. Now, the number one crisis on earth for men, and ladies, listen carefully, ladies, is the absence of a fatherhood role model. I'm repeat this. The number one crisis on earth, especially in our Western nations, is the male is lacking an effective, perfect role model of fatherhood. The average man in this room, which is probably up to 80%, will perhaps quietly admit that his father was not a role model. He was a model. But he wasn't a model they want to roll themselves after. Because the average father didn't have a role model. And his father's father didn't have a role model. And so the Bible is very clear that the sin of the fathers will affect the first, second, third, and even the fourth generation. Which means that the man that you got married to, or perhaps will marry, is suffering from four generations of absentee fatherism. And you give him a baby and tell him, father that baby. And that man has no idea how to do that. So even though you may have a father, is he a role model? Father, I thought it would be therefore helpful to remind the women, as I did in the last session, that you cannot demand from a man what he cannot deliver. You know, I feel pity for most men. I am one of them. It's tough being a man today. And ladies, you make it tougher because it's more tougher. You English teachers looking at me funny. You all know just what I mean. It's tougher. Reason why the women make it tougher is because the woman demands from the man what he cannot deliver. And the man becomes angry because he can't deliver what she demanded. And this is the reason why there's so much domestic violence in many homes, because she's asking him to perform what he was never trained to produce. It's tough. One of the favorite statements of most men that I know is this statement: "Woman, what do you want from me?" Now, that's a deep statement. You got to study that for 2 months, because you've been with him for 3 years and he's still trying to figure out what you want from him. He is crying out. That's a desperate cry. He's saying, "I'm stuck. I tried everything I could, woman. I did everything I knew how. What else do you want?" And then she says, "I don't know, but I want more." And so you got this pressure, this tension, and the guy is stuck because he never had a role model. He had no training. He had no idea of what to do as a male, as a father, as a husband. And he is under pressure. And he responds with anger. And sometimes that anger turns into physical abuse. Listen, this point number 3 is very important. Number 4, what do you do if your earthly father was a failure? I'm talking to the men now. First, what do you do if your earthly father was a failure? Now I'm going to ask the women the same question. What do you do if your earthly father was a failure? And that is probably most of your experiences here today. What do you do? Well, I got an answer for you. Jesus said these words in Matthew chapter 5. Write it down, Matthew 5. We're going to read verse 48. Jesus said these words. I quote, "Be perfect, therefore, just like your Father in heaven is perfect." End quote. If your earthly father fails, God provides the model. You don't have to be like your daddy. If your daddy was absent all your life, you still got a role model to follow. So you can't tell your wife or your kids, "Well, I'm just like my daddy was." No, there's another father you could follow. Be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect. If earth fails, go to heaven. If you can't find a standard on earth, go to heaven for your standard. Because God says there's no excuse. You can take my standard and apply it to earth. So the question though is, what is God's perfect model of fatherhood? And that's what we're going to talk about today. The role of the perfect father. Now, I think the best way to start this is to talk about, how do you know a perfect father? I think you know a perfect father by the son. The children tell the tale. Are you with me? Yeah. Matter of fact, Jesus said, "He that have seen me," that's the son, "have seen my father," that's the daddy. So if you want to know what a good father is, you study the son. And study what the son does, and what the son says, and what the son thinks, because that is what the Father has projected. Jesus is the perfect Son provided by the perfect Father, who gave us the perfect model of fatherhood. And here's what I want to talk about first. The list that I identified from studying the life of Jesus. I'm going to give you a list. Jesus got these 10 things from his Father. And every person, especially the men, should get these 10 things from their father. Number 1, identity. Say it. Identity. Number 2, work. He got his work from his father. Number 3, he got his purpose from his father. His purpose. Number 4, he got his heritage from his father. He was proud to associate with his father. And number 5, he got his power from his father. Number 6, He got his authority from his father. Number seven, he got his legitimacy from his father. Legitimacy. Number eight, he got his destiny from his father. His sense of future. He got it from his father. And number nine, he got his family from his father. He got his family from his father. Now, this is a very important list, because if you look at this list, the first one is a problem with most men. The average man is struggling with identity. And you get that from your father. If a man has no identity, then he is unidentified. If he's not identified, he is nobody. And if you marry him, you married nobody. This is why when a man doesn't know who he is, he always becomes someone else. He wears other people, like Nike, Calvin Klein, FUBU. He needs to wear other people's identity because he has none. Why does a kid want to buy a $200 tennis shoe? It's because his father didn't give him a sense of identity, and he has to identify with somebody. He would cut his hair like LeBron James. He would wear the same shoe like Michael Jordan. Why? Because he has no identity. He needs to find it in someone else. And that's why he joined gangs and dressed like other people, because the father never gave a sense of identity. The first thing God gave Adam was image. Let us make man in our image. If a male doesn't have a clear self-image, you are married to a schizophrenic. He will keep changing on you every week. He'll be one thing on Monday, another thing on Tuesday, and then on weekends he changes. In the morning he's nice, in the night he's a beast. And you say, what's wrong with this guy? He is confused about his concept of self. Father provides that. Let me give you some important items here. Jesus got his message from his father. That's the last one. He got his what? His message from his father. Everything he said, he got it from his daddy. You know, my father, he and I spoke last night. And he said, son, I was looking for you. I said, yes, dad. I just got back from London last night. And we were chatting and he said, I'm going to preach tomorrow to another church. He's 85 years old, still preaching. He said, I wanted to come and hear you speak tomorrow, but I'll come afterwards. So he's going to be here in a little while. But he wanted to just to see if I was going to be here, because he wanted to come and get teaching. And I hung the phone up and I thought for a minute. My father taught me about God all my life. I got my message from my daddy. I love God because my father loves God. So let me begin with some verses. Please write these down. Number one, the Father provides the model. Everybody say it. The Father provides the model. That's number one. Write it down. What does the Father provide? The model. A perfect Father provides the model. Ladies, write this down, because this is how you measure a man. In the book of John chapter 5. See, the Father provides the imitation power for the sons. I'm so sorry that we don't have this overhead projector working, because there's so much stuff I wanted you to see. Please fix it for me, please, in the future, quickly. Everybody say imitation. The Father provides the model for imitation of the sons. This is why the average male is struggling with manhood. He didn't have an imitative model. Let me ask a question to the fathers and the fathers-to-be. Here's a big question. Can your children do in public everything you do in secret? Whew. Let me ask it again. If your children could see what you do in secret, can they do it publicly? Can they imitate you publicly, what you do in secret? Don't answer it, just think about it. That's called modeling. Can they imitate you, what you do every day, 24 hours a day? Can your children imitate you? The Bible says, be ye imitators of God as their children. And then he says, now you be perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect. I cannot do anything in secret what I don't want my son to do in public. Let me read a verse. John 5, write it down, verse 19. I'm quoting Jesus now. The son is talking. Jesus gave them this answer. I quote, I tell you the truth. The son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his father doing. Because whatever the father does, the son also does. For the father loves the son and shows him everything. Quote, end quote, father. Let me read that one more time. John, chapter 5, verse 19. He says, I can tell you the truth. The son can do nothing by himself. He only can do what he sees his father doing. I want my son to duplicate everything I do. And if I have to hide it, then he shouldn't duplicate it. Let me quote the last part of the statement. He says, the son can only do what he sees his father doing, and whatever the father does, the son also does. Why do you think the men are struggling? Their father was absent, so they're absent. Their father always in the club, so they figure that's where I gotta be. Their father slapped your mama, so he slaps you. He says, I do what I see my father do. And there are men full of the Holy Spirit who have to pray for God to control their hands. Because they are having to struggle with what they saw. The son does what he sees the father do. You know, for you young women who are not married yet, according to this statement, you need to be a little bit more diligent in your research of a man who wants to marry you. And your research should not be, can he kiss well? Your research should be, let me study his father. Let me find out about his daddy. Because if you don't know about his daddy, you don't know who you're getting. Because he has the potential to bring into your life what his father is. I believe in miracles, but I prefer for them to be small ones. Do you understand what I just said? You don't want to live and ask God for a big miracle. Lord, you got to change this porn star. I do what I see my father do. That's what fathers do. They imitate, the sons imitate them. They must model what they want their sons to do. Number two, fathers provide heritage. In the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus said, do not be afraid, little flock. It is your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What does a father give his children? He gives them his heritage. The kingdom of God is God's heritage. He gave it to the children. What do you have to give to your children as a father? Luke 15, verse 31 said, do not be afraid, little flock. It is your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What does a father give his children? He gives them his heritage. The kingdom of God is God's heritage. He gave it to the children. What do you have to give to your children as a father? Luke 15, verse 31 says, "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have belongs to you." Boy, that's powerful. That is taken from what? The story of the prodigal son. Remember the two sons? Yes, one of them went out and wasted all of his money and everything he had. The other one stayed at home. And the one who stayed at home began to complain. And he said, "Father, why are you spending so much money on my brother when my brother wasted his goods?" Then he asked his father, "What about me?" And the father answered, "Son, everything I own is yours." I think the bottom line is this: a good man does leave an inheritance to his children's children. You should not be focusing on buying the best suit, trying to buy the most popular tie, trying to get the latest shoe. Your focus should be, what shall I leave my children? You can't leave your son a necktie. You can't leave him a car that's deteriorating. You got to find something that is able to go into the next generation. Sometimes you got to wear one pants for a long time to buy that piece of property. Wear that pants for a long time because you want to give them something that you own. He says, "Father," he says, "all that is mine is yours, son." I like this. Luke 22 verse 29 says this: "I confer on you a kingdom just as my father conferred one on me." Could you imagine? His daddy gave him a country. Can you give your children a better country? This is how I met the Bahamas. "Son, before I leave, it's going to change. I'm going to make it better for you." A good father gives his children not just what he owns, but even where he lives. That's why I'm proud of you, Brother Cartwright. Your role in government is important for your children, not just us. And I speak to every politician here. We got many here sitting here this morning. You must keep working, but don't work for a party. Work for your children. Give your children a better kingdom to live in. Whatever you do as a good father, you transfer it to your children. Number three, fathers create trust in their children. Boy, this is a tough one. What did I say? Fathers create trust. See, fathers must be trusted by their children. You must give your children trust. Fathers must also trust their children. When I read this verse, it blew my mind. Luke chapter 23. I'm quoting Jesus. He says, "Father, into your hands I commit my entire spirit." Can you give your entire life to your daddy? "I trust you with my life, dear daddy." "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Can your daughter give you her body and you don't rape it? Can your daughter sleep with you in the same bed and you don't touch her inappropriately? Can she commit her life to you? How many children in this place today who got memories of a father who couldn't be trusted with their bodies? "Into thy hands I commit my spirit. I trust you with it, Lord." Can your children trust you? "Into your hands, Father, I commit the house that you have us living in. Will you keep it until I grow up? Or will you sell it in gambling?" Would you wager my house in a gambling deal? I commit my whole life to you, Daddy. I'm only 15. Will I still have the house? Or are you going to play games with it and give it to your sweetheart? Into the hand. A father is able to be trusted with the total life of his children. Perfect father. Here's another verse I thought was very important. John 3, write it down, verse 34. It says, the Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. So we got two trusts here. One, where the child trusts the Father, but now we got the Father trusting the Son. Can you give your son the business and say, son, make it better? Can you transfer some money to your son and say, son, double that for me? Not only should the child trust you, but have you trained them so well you could trust them? What your son does with what you give him, or what your daughter does with what you give her, will measure what kind of father you are. If they built a business for 40 years and give it to the son, and the son loses the business in 40 months, that father is a failure. Jesus said, my father has handed over everything to me. He trusts me. John chapter 5 verse 36. Make a note. It says, for the very work that the Father has given me to finish, and which I am doing, testifies that the Father has sent me. Let me read that again. John 5, 6, 36. For the very work the Father has given for me to finish, and which I am doing, testifies that the Father has sent me. You know, it's okay for you to have a good career, sir. But if you die today, what does your children inherit? They can't inherit your job in that company. This is why the book of Proverbs is so important. Ecclesiastes also has it in chapter 11. It says, sow your seed in the morning, and in the evening, let not your hands be idle. That means go to work on the man's job from 9 to 5. But from 5:30 to 12 midnight, work on your own business. Because your kids can't inherit your job, but they can inherit your business. Do something in your downtime. Think about your children or your grandchildren. You know, I believe that this series has been important to your life. Even for some of you who've been trying to have children. The Lord spoke to me yesterday. He said, if they get this revelation, I'll give them conception. I prophesy that many of you here today who have been married for a long time, because of this series and because of this information, God's going to give you a baby in Jesus' name. It's going to be a miracle baby. Why? You are now ready. Only if you're married. The Father has given work for me to finish. In other words, when you turn your work over to your child, it should improve. How many people have spent their lives building a business, and then when their wayward children took it over after they died, it became a relic? Here's another one. This is number four, is it? It's number four. The fathers provide work for their children. The father provides work for the son. This is very important. The fathers provide work, which is vision, purpose, and work ethic. If you are a good father, you will teach your children how to love work, how to enjoy work, and how to embrace work as honorable and good. Here's a verse I thought was interesting. John 5, verse 17. Jesus said, "My Father is always working, and so I too am working." Lazy father, lazy children. Complaining father, complaining children. Gambling father, gambling children. Numbers father, numbers children. In other words, your children get their work ethic from watching you. If you rather try to get a quick, a gambling scheme, you're going to teach your kids to always be scheming.
Yes.
There are some people who are always scheming. They always got a scheme from their father. Hard-working fathers produce hard-working children. Christ says, "My Father is always working." And by the way, let me say this, man. When I say working, I mean waking. W-O-R-K-I-N-G. Hello? Some men go to work and you can never see the results. They just work all day and nothing improves, nothing happens. One of the most important things your child can say about you is this: "My daddy's a hard worker." That's an honorable statement. Listen to Christ again. Christ says, "My Father is always working." He was talking about his daddy. My Father is what? Always working. He says, every time I see God, he's always working on something. He said, therefore, the Son is always working. Don't walk around bumming. That's a word for begging, eh? Big, rusty man. 40 years old, selling, juju and ding. And I'm thinking, okay. No, but listen, that's fine. The problem is, you could never sell enough jujus to buy property for your child. I mean, it's okay to sell juju, but make sure that's a side business, because you can't pay for no house mortgage on juju. Let your children see what? Results. My Father's always working, so I work. Here's another verse I thought was interesting. John 17. Write it down. Verse 4. Jesus says, "I have brought you glory on earth, Father, by completing the work you gave me to do." Isn't that beautiful? "I have brought you glory on earth, Father, by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence." In other words, you can brag on me in heaven, because I finished your work you gave me on earth. Can your children complete the work you give to them? Maybe the question should be, do you have work to give your children? If your father was the right father, you wouldn't be looking for a job. He would have provided you a business to run. Oh, help me, Jesus. But the problem is, you lack the pure father. This teaching is not to condemn you. It's to make you change your mind. Don't just satisfy with a job. Become a consultant. Build a company so your daughters can work in it. You and I need to think, if I'm going to be a good father, he says, I must be able to give my children work to complete. You know, I'm the father of this ministry. The vision God put in my heart came out of me. This is what makes me a father. And there are many people here who work here full time. And you know what? I have given them work to do. Because I work hard. And the work that God gave me to do, I am giving it to them so they can complete it. A good father provides work for his children to do so that they can have something to complete. So he can be proud of them and glorify them in heaven. A good man doesn't just work for a job. He works for a business. People of color, not you, the one behind you, are trained to be employed, not to be deployed. And we love to be employed, eh? That's why I believe God brings crisis, you know. To see how many will survive it as employment turning into deployment. He may cause you to lose your job so you could create business. Your brain can never be fired. If they take their job, you keep your brains and start thinking. Yesterday, when I saw those people in that cooperative, I came from the airport, 9 hours flying. I said, I got to get here in time. And I walked around there, and I looked. I said, I'm so proud of you all. I told them all, I'm so proud. You know what? They didn't know what I was talking about. You are thinking. People made money yesterday while you were home wondering whether it's going to succeed. By the way, Ron, I need 10%. Ron did good. Praise God. See, a good father gives his children work to finish. You a lawyer? Start thinking. Either for partnership or your own firm. Work to a place for a while, but let them know this ain't what I'm thinking about. My kids can't inherit this. Think about something you can give to your children to finish. Number six. What does fathers do? Fathers transfer credibility. Say it with me. Fathers transfer credibility. You know, the fathers transfer their credibility and their reputation to their sons and their daughters. Who does it? Fathers. When I read this verse, I couldn't believe how clear it was. It's found in John 5, verse 22. Jesus Christ is talking about his father. You know, I guess the question is, can you trust your children to make good decisions by themselves because you gave them your credibility? Well, here's Jesus speaking in John 5, verse 22. Write it down. It says, moreover, the Father judges no one, watch this, but he has turned over all judgment and entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Father does not honor the Son. And he who doesn't honor the Son does not honor the Father whom he sent. This is a complicated sentence. No, it's a simple sentence. Let me read it again. He says, the Father judges no one. He has given all judgment to me. In other words, the Father doesn't make decisions anymore. He handed it over to me to judge everything for the family. Can you imagine that? Can you give your kids the power to make decisions for the family? A good father has trained their kids so well, they can tell the kids, you can decide that. You don't need me. Just go ahead, take care of that for me. That's a good father. A good father can train his children so well, he can entrust them to bring judgment in situations. He also says, so that they may honor the Son just like they honor the Father. You know, when my son came back from college and we started, you know, another business, I turned it over to him. And do you know what I had to do? All the banks that I work with, all the insurance companies that I work with, it's just an example I'm giving you now, all the networks and the business place that I work with, local and international, I had to write a letter. And in that letter, I had to tell the bank and the insurance company and all the folks we work with. I said, look, I want to introduce you to my son. He is now taking over all of my accounts with you. He now has the power and the authority to make decisions, to make demands on my behalf. Thank you very much for your cooperation. You don't need me anymore. Signed, Dr. Monroe. And I sent the letter to everybody. What am I doing? I'm transferring judgment to my son. How long are you going to wait to trust your children?